Well, first of all, thank you, everybody, for being here today. And again, can everybody hear me okay? That's all right. Thank you. So several weeks ago, I was thinking of topics because I'm starting to wind down. And I thought woke and awake would be a dandy topic because it would be really easy to talk about. Simply because I've done a lot of work on awakening from at least a Buddhist perspective. And the word woke I had heard for the first time when I was in West Seattle for 3 years at an interim that I did there. And I'd never heard of it before because, well, frankly, I wasn't very much involved and am not involved in social justice work and a lot of the work going on in UUA. So I thought to myself, well, this will be simple. You know, just look at, because both words really involve, at least to me, the idea of paying attention, being aware, and being in the present moment. And one example that had come to my mind a number of months ago was that women especially at night walking, say, downtown or in a city or any place alone, have to be hypervigilant for very good reasons, because you never know what is going to happen next. So the awareness level has to be so intense and so focused that, to me, that is like awakened. So this week, which has been a rather intense week because I had to go to Montana and then came back from Montana with some interesting flight issues. But I thought, okay, this will be easy, no problem, no sweat. So there were very few Unitarian Universalist websites or chat groups that I'm still on because I'm gradually, divorcing myself from the UUA might be a good term. For a variety of reasons, mostly actually involving some of this. So I had some colleagues online who I knew, and I put in a question, and that was a very simple one. Excuse me. I explained what I was going to do, and I wondered what opinions and feelings and ideas they had about the term woke. And I immediately got some very straightforward answers. The one that was the most common was, and I'm paraphrasing here, you're not black, so you shouldn't be talking about wokeness. Okay? You can't understand being black lived experience for 400 years. Totally understand that as well. And I said, well, what can I say about it? And the response was from several people, if you talk about it at all, you are a racist. So that put me in a little bit of a conundrum, because for me, I see it from my own perspective as a straight white male, you know, 73 years old, blah, blah. And I think that that at least gives me some legitimacy to say I understand this term in this way. But it wasn't the way that black people for the last 200 years at least have understood it and used it. And that was a very critical point that they were making. And so I honored that and said thank you to all the people involved, said I appreciate your guidance, and then I signed off. So Deborah, my partner Deborah in Oregon, was texting me a little bit later. So I asked her, because if you have a life partner, this is supposed to be what you do, especially if you're puzzled about things. So I explained to her what was going on, and she said, well, in part I can agree with them. I'll say also, by the way, she is a Buddhist chaplain at the hospital in Eugene, and she sees a lot of varieties of life experiences from people of all races, all genders, all ages, and so on. She said basically that, yeah, I could talk about it, but I wouldn't be able to understand it except from my white view. Understood. She did say that she didn't think if I did talk about it, I was racist. But aside from that, this is what she said. She said, "My first response is that I would tend to agree that we have to tread very carefully on certain topics as white people. I am thinking of a black woman at a Zen temple where Deborah attends, who spoke of appropriated outrage or appropriated anger when white people speak of how black people must feel. But to say that it's inherently racist seems unfair." And then we went on to converse about some other things that I'll mention a bit later. So I was again caught in a little bit of a conundrum, because I want to be sensitive to the fact that black people in this country feel still stigmatized, still stepped on, and still ignored. And so what I was going to talk about this morning, which would have been kind of nice and fun, and you know, I had it all put together in my mind, might have been rather offensive. So that left me with the usual confusion of, okay, what do I do now? So I decided to take a different direction. So I apologize in advance to any of you who came here thinking, okay, I'm going to talk about wokeness and awakening, and it's all going to make sense after 20 minutes. It probably won't, although I'm working on it. What happened was, after I talked to Deborah, and also after listening to these colleagues, I had an aha moment. And some of you are aware of the class that we had here earlier this spring about epiphanies, about aha moments. And actually, I'm doing a service on epiphanies next Sunday. But the point being that I had a moment after I got offline with Deborah, and I thought, oh, this is wonderful. Because what I'm going to have to do, admittedly at the last minute, is change. Is to focus my awareness, not in what I was going to do, but how I have to change. So I'm not sure how I'm going to go forward with that word and its meanings. But now I can see more deeply and more emphatically and more empathically the understanding of what black people in this country feel, as well as others, by the way, about the use of terms that we as white people really don't understand or don't care, and so on. And in four years that I've been here, I would imagine all of us in this room, in one way or another, have seen or heard, especially, the use of a very simple, powerful word, woke, transformed into one that is wondrous, confusing, angry, and also used by, let's say, one part of the political and social spectrum as a curse word. Because now, as Deborah and I were talking last night, I said, it's a new version of the N-word by those who want to degrade and humiliate and say you are awful people, whether you're white or black, because you agree with this word, therefore you are terrible people. We can see that in Florida, as one example. So what happened was, as last night moved on and I was thinking about this, and I realized awakening, see how I'm moving on here, awakening is an awareness of how we change, not just internally here, but in our relationship to people in the world, to places, to events, to philosophies, to everything that we would have taken for granted and understood, say, 50 or 100 years ago, now has changed. And I'll give you an example that has not a lot to do with what I'm talking about now, But the type of awakening where it used to be people smoked cigarettes in churches. Did you know that? Yeah. They smoked cigarettes on airplanes, on buses, in homes. And nobody thought twice about it because that was the way things were. Now, I would be utterly astonished if someone walked in here smoking a cigarette or a cigar or a flat amount of cannabis and going, what's the problem? Because in our lifetimes, the awareness level has shifted so dramatically that what used to be taken for granted now is not. That is an example of awakening, awareness, changing. And I think in time, that's what's going to happen with this word woke. Yeah, for all reasons that people are using it in foolish and angry and judgmental ways, I think that's going to change. Because what it is doing is forcing all of us, wherever we are on the political or social or racial spectrum, it's forcing us to look at this word and understand it and understand the meaning of it behind the people who have been saying it for so long. That was my epiphany. Part two. This is a slightly different perspective, but I want to tie it in a bit. I'm sure you've all heard about what happened in Texas yesterday, or the day before, I forget when a neighbor, a man was shooting his gun. I think it was an AR-15, a semi-automatic, at about midnight in his yard, and his neighbors came over and said, could you please not shoot anymore because we're trying to sleep? And he said something to the effect of, my yard, my rules, and that's that. And so the person went back to their house, and I think they were prepared to call the police. And then what happened next was that the man walked over with his gun and shot everybody that he could. I think it was five people, at least five people had died as a result. Two of the women in the house who were killed were on top of their infants so that they would live. And as you probably know, this is not the first time events like this have happened in the last 2 months. It's crazy. And I was talking with Deborah about it, and she said there seems to be a deep undercurrent of rage in this country that we have no idea how to move away from or deal with or cope with or end. So, I was thinking about this last night, about awakening, about awareness, about moving forward with what is wrong with us? Do we sometimes have to have the messiness of the world right next to us, up in our face, and say, pay attention? Is this what you want to have happen in the world? Last night, I read an article in the New York Times Magazine, you know, that liberal paper that nobody wants to read, from April 20th, 2023. And it's pretty powerful. I don't know if any of you saw it. Here's the headline of it. They saw the horrific aftermath of a mass shooting. Should we? And it was a crime scene investigators who were the ones to document and remember the unimaginable. What they saw, what they experienced, what they felt, and what they had to put aside in their heads that happened at Sandy Hook Elementary School on December 14th, 2012. And the question really was, should people be sanitized from having to see the photographs. All the photographs. Not the ones of an empty corridor or maybe the part of a classroom that hasn't been destroyed and bloodied, but all of them. When Deborah and I were talking about this, I remembered during World War II, concentration camps were liberated, and what happened was that the soldiers, American, British, French, and hopefully Soviet, would gather up the people in the nearby towns, and they would tell them, come to the camps, you're going to walk through every part of them, and pay attention, because this is yours to own. And that's what happened. I wondered what would happen if all the members of Congress, not just a few of them we don't like, but all the members of Congress and maybe the leadership in the National Rifle Association should directly experience the photos and scenes of mothers who were shot trying to protect their children. I wonder how that would feel. That is not to denigrate people who own guns. I grew up on a farm. They had guns there. They were almost never used. I'm not speaking against people who own weapons. What I am speaking about are the people who don't seem to have the awareness of the danger that they have for their family, for their friends, for their enemies, for their neighbors at all. I'm not saying that. But perhaps what we need to do is start learning the consequences of our actions. Whether it's using words like woke in ways that, bless you, in ways that simply do not work and are, thank you, that simply are not courteous or polite or respectful to those who use them in a meaningful and powerful and historic way. Do we need to understand not just the word, but the meanings behind the word, and not assume that we know the meanings because we're white or we're black or we're 50 years old or we're 20 years old? I really wonder that. Last thing I wonder, and I'm going to talk to us about this next week about epiphanies. The last thing I wonder, and this is more of a philosophical but really theological thought, because believe it or not, as Unitarian Universalists, we should or we ought to have a theology that is grounding. And at the moment, at least, the six sources and the seven principles are those. What I wonder is if we are human beings are forcing ourselves to move into a more aware, mature, compassionate, caring, and loving space, not just for our friends, but also the stranger, simply because this is what we are calling ourselves to do as a species. I wonder if there is a possibility, I'm sorry about this, a possibility, and you can call it God, you can call it Buddha nature, you can call it whatever you want. They're all true. If we are pushing ourselves as a group of people, whether it's this group or all of us around, into, fine, you want to understand what it means to be human and what it means to be broken and what it means to be whole, take a look in the mirror. What do you see? What do you experience? What do you care about? Is that what we are called to be? Called by whatever, doesn't matter. Called to become mature. Called to become a world where over time, not only do we not smoke cigarettes in church, but we also protect those who need protection, to care for those who need caring, and not make exceptions because they are different from us. And personally, I think that may be one of our jobs, and I think it also is something that every one of us in this room knows or will know what to do. Part 2 is next week. Thank you.